Track 1. Welcome to the Home Study course, sponsored by the Healthcare Training Institute, homestudycredit.com. This course is entitled Treating Phobias with Practical Cognitive Restructuring Interventions. Our primary intent for this home study course is to provide quality education to foster your professional growth. The Institute has provided quality education since 1979. Hi, my name is Jared Baxter. I will be the narrator of this CD set. We appreciate that you have chosen us as a vehicle for you to earn your continuing education credit. The purpose of the course is to assist you in increasing your knowledge regarding how to treat patients, clients, etc. dealing with phobias. As each case study is given, if the concepts seem to be applicable to your situation, I encourage you to turn your CD player off and make a few notes regarding the application of the principle to your setting. However, these notes are for your purposes only and are not to be sent to the Institute. Also, each track is very content dense, so feel free to replay the track to review the content either for your own purposes, or if you feel appropriate, play the track in an individual or group session for client education. Also, permission is granted to reproduce this CD. We encourage you to duplicate and give copies of this CD to colleagues, clients, etc. as you deem appropriate. We feel the information on our CDs is valuable. Thus, we have an interest in distributing CDs in as many ways as possible to benefit the greatest number of people who have a need and are receptive to this practical information. The questions in your answer booklet are sequential and deal with the section of content that preceded them. For this reason, to facilitate the answering of each question, you might read the question from the answer booklet prior to listening to that CD track. By knowing what the question is ahead of time, you will then know the content to listen for that contains the answer. So, just a hint, after you write down the answer to a question in your answer booklet, read on to the next question in order to give you a heads up to listen for the content that contains the answer to the next question. Merely write the correct letter on the corresponding blank line in your answer booklet. Each answer is only used once. Keep in mind, there is nothing tricky or hard about these questions. They're merely intended to verify the playing of this CD. For the purpose of brevity, most generally I will use the term therapists or mental health professionals. However, don't let these terms deter you from applying the concepts to your situations. When you hear the word therapist, if your job title is social worker, psychologist, marriage and family therapist, mental health counselor, professional counselor, resident director, program assistant, etc., merely substitute the appropriate term that is the most meaningful to you. In short, don't let my use of the term therapists cognitively set you off track from hearing the content because your job title is school counselor, for example. I will also use the term client for the purpose of brevity. However, if you deal with patients, residents, students, consumers, etc., transpose client for the term that is the most meaningful to you in your work setting. On this CD set, we will discuss such topics as Hawk's Paradox, Developing Self-Awareness, Directing Clients, Approaches to Cognitive Restructuring, Interventions for Agoraphobia, Social Phobias, Public Speaking Phobias, Techniques for Social Phobias, and Exposure. So let's get started. On the rest of this track, we will discuss differences and correlations between fear and anxiety and phobias and panic. The purpose of this discussion is to eliminate confusion regarding the meaning behind the words as they relate to clinical diagnoses of phobias and phobic conditions. As you know, a phobia refers to a specific object of fear. The definitions of fear and anxiety are often confounded, the words being used interchangeably for the same general concept, even though there are obvious advantages to using two distinct words to designate separate, though related, phenomena. In order to better understand the meaning of these terms, let's consider their dictionary definitions. The traditional meanings are more useful in clarifying the semantic and conceptual confusion than are some contemporary distinctions made by behavioral therapists. Fear points to the possible occurrence of an unwanted or calamitous event. The event has not yet occurred. That is, it is in the future, and the client is concerned, agitated, or foreboding about the event. Would you agree, then, that fear refers to the appraisal that there is actual or potential danger in a given situation? Fear is a cognitive process as opposed to an emotional reaction. Anxiety, on the other hand, is defined as a tense emotional state and is often marked by such physical symptoms as tension, tremor, sweating, palpitation, and increased pulse rate. Phobia refers to a specific kind of fear and is defined as an exaggerated and often disabling fear. A phobia is also characterized by an intense desire to avoid the feared situation and evokes anxiety when one is exposed to that situation. The clinical descriptions of phobias have not changed much since their earliest descriptions. Panic is defined as a sudden, overpowering fright, accompanied by increasing or frantic attempts to secure safety. Anxiety may be distinguished from fear in that the former is an emotional process, while fear is a cognitive one. Fear involves the intellectual appraisal of a threatening stimulus. Anxiety involves the emotional response to that appraisal. When a client says he fears something, he is generally referring to a set of circumstances that are not present but may occur at some point in the future. At this point, the fear is said to be latent. As you know, when a client has anxiety, he experiences a subjectively unpleasant emotional state characterized by unpleasant subjective feelings, such as tension or nervousness, and by physiological symptoms like heart palpitations, tremor, nausea, and dizziness. A fear is activated when a client is exposed, either physically or psychologically, to the stimulus situation he considers threatening. When the fear becomes activated, he experiences anxiety. Fear, then, is the appraisal of danger. Anxiety is the unpleasant feeling state evoked when fear is stimulated. In addition to anxiety, a variety of symptoms referable to the autonomic and somatic nervous system may be provoked concurrently. A phobia refers to a specific object of fear. Initially, a client is afraid of a specific type of situation or event, for example, heights, closed spaces, or deep water. When in the situation, he is acutely afraid of the consequences, falling, suffocating, or drowning. When a phobia or fear is activated, the individual's reaction may range from mild anxiety to panic. The objects of phobias can range from small animals to natural occurrences, such as thunderstorms, or to events in the social arena, such as speaking in front of large groups or going to parties. The main quality of a phobia is that it involves the appraisal of a high degree of risk in a situation that is relatively safe. An example will clarify the complex interrelations among these terms. A client with a fear of small animals perceives these animals to be dangerous. However, he does not experience anxiety until he finds himself exposed to a small animal or imagines himself in such a situation. The presence of, say, a mouse on the scene activates the fear, and the client may think, "The mouse may bite me, and I might get rabies and die." Or, "The mouse may bite me, and I might faint and become embarrassed in front of all these people." The client who perceives this threat as overwhelming may have a panic attack. The concept of danger arises from the possible consequences of contact with the animal. Before a client has contact with the mouse, the fear is latent. Once in the presence of the mouse, the fear is activated, and all the unpleasant affective and physiological symptoms associated with panic attack are aroused. Similarly, a client who is phobic of certain social situations, such as attending parties or giving lectures, is less afraid of the situations themselves than of possible consequences of being in them. The social phobic is afraid, for example, that in a social situation he will make a fool of himself or go out of control and embarrass himself. This client might feel jittery or shaky, sweat profusely, and experience any or all of the uncomfortable affective and physiological symptoms of anxiety or panic. Panic is an intense, acute state of anxiety associated with other dramatic physiological, motor, and cognitive symptoms. The physiological correlates of panic are an intensified version of those of anxiety, that is, rapid pulse, dizziness, cold and profuse sweating, and tremor. In addition, one has a sense of impending catastrophe, pervasive inhibitions, and an overwhelming desire to flee or get help. Think of your phobic client. What characterizes his or her phobia? How does your client currently cope with the resulting panic? On this track, we have discussed differences and correlations between fear and anxiety and phobias and panic. As you know, a phobia refers to a specific object of fear. On the next track, we will discuss Hawke's paradox. You might find that an understanding of Hawke's paradox can become a solid foundation on which to base a cognitive therapy intervention with your phobic client. In addition, we'll examine a case study in which the cognitive therapy technique of counting automatic thoughts is used. Question 1. To what does a phobia refer?